This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
For those of you just tuning in, we just finished up a really interesting call with Olu Axelman. He is one of the bloggers and co-founders over at the Liberty Block at libertyblock.com.
In a fair, just universe, he would be running for mayor of New York right now, New York City. Because, like, every time he speaks, you know, I just picture, like, 1850, 1860 guy in the town square, mm-hmm. you know, holding a pamphlet and screaming about the injustices being brought down by the political system or whatever, and like, that's Olu Axelman to the T, man.
Yeah, but I don't want him in New York City. I want him here in New Hampshire.
Well, yeah, sure, okay.
he should run for something.
He should, and like, just get him out there in the square just yelling and screaming with that voice, everything about it, it's perfect. I remember this man.
I think before I met Olu, I remember hearing that he was running in Hooks at the town that he lives in for state rep, and I don't think he got, I think he came close but didn't quite get in. It was like his first time, right? Like, usually yeah. your first time running. You don't win, but sometimes you do. Anyway, what we were talking about.
Oh, sorry. The thing he left off on was that he said 10 years ago my mind was a lot more closed and I wouldn't even have the opinions I have now. And I just want to say hashtag me too because... I don't know really if it was 10 years ago. That would be, it'd be less, more than 10 years ago. Like, there was this friend I met when I was in the summer between 8th and 9th grade that I credit with literally the initial ice pick to my heart that helped me become more tolerant to other people, just because I don't think it had...
what it takes to be tolerant is an ice pick to your heart. I don't know if I would pick that
No, like, my
analogy.
Heart was ice.
Oh, okay, got it.
And he helps to melt it. Like, I'm just saying, he used to always say things to me like I'd be like, I don't like that girl. Oh my God, I hate her. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, why? Have you talked to her? I'd be like, mm-hmm. well, no, but she X. And it made me have to think, made me have to open my mind. And just like, over a decade later, the feeling of the way that I was as like a early teenager to now is just like, I feel so free from like having to hold hate in your heart at all. It only hurts you. Mm. And, I also just wouldn't have been, I was like a right winger, basically like thought cops are always right. And anyone can change is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. I think that's true. And what Olu was saying there was that things didn't really change for him until he was able to connect in real life with people that he previously might have thought were the enemy or different from him. And then he realized...
I mean, one of the letters that I had for my sentencing hearing was from someone who said exactly that. It was like, you know, I'm conservative and Arya is trans. And when I first saw her, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be nice. But then this person went on, you know, 3 years later to write a letter to the judge on my behalf.
That's awesome.
And it's all about that community.
Yeah, and so he was saying that meeting these people who are different from him or have different values somewhat, even though what does unite us is our belief in individual liberty, but being able to actually connect with those people individually helped wipe away some of the misunderstandings and wipe away the propaganda that's out there. Because a lot of these people that have some sort of hatred or appear to have this hatred, they've just been propagandized. They believe things that in many cases aren't true. They believe things, we're specifically talking tonight about drag shows. They believe things about drag shows that generally are not true. But that's what they've seen in their propaganda that has been pounding at them on the internet and from their whatever peer groups that they're in. And so in order to fit in their peer groups, they agree with the propaganda. They take it in, and they don't know what the truth actually is.
I said today on Twitter, amazingly, something exactly along these lines, that we need to stop listening to randos on the internet. The problem we have in the world today is that we're not listening to our neighbors. Mm. We're listening to people on Twitter. And this was a response from the KISS bassist or whatever he is that came out with his allegedly anti-trans statement or whatever. I was like, what? And just like Kid Rock did recently about drag queens, like, why are we listening to these washed-up musicians on Twitter? And even if they were not washed up, even if they were currently, you know, number one band in the world, Taylor Swift, even if it's Taylor Swift, why are we listening to these people's opinions? Ask your neighbors, because I guarantee you, you know at least one trans person. You may not know they're trans, because with female to male, it's really hard to tell sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you, chances are good, you know at least one trans person, and all of this all of this roaring and yelling on the internet is causing real psychological damage to those trans people. And you, instead of listening to whatever his name is, Paul Stanley or whatever, I don't know who Paul Stanley is, that's not the right name, I can't think of the guy's name, but instead of listening to this guy from KISS or Kid Rock or Fox News or whoever else is trying to get money from you, who's trying to monetize your outrage and turn it into profits, listen to actual real living people in the world around you.
Yeah, and that's what the Porcupine Freedom Festival allowed Alu to do, and I think that was a really powerful statement. And I mean, just to take that a little bit further, I was also listening to the Free State Live show, which happens, it's actually usually competing with us around now, but I do like to listen to it later on.
And, yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, and they were watching the NBC Boston documentary series. They're doing an episode per week and, you know, stopping and commentary. Kind of we did with the first episode, yeah. I think, on Free Talk Live. So they're on the first episode last week. This week they're doing episode two. But if you haven't seen it yet, go to NBCBoston.com/freestates. Great documentary series, 11 episodes long, about 10, 15 minutes per episode. And so they were, you know, watching this this series, and of course, there's this other side, there's this opposition. So the series focuses on the Free Staters, the liberty activists that have migrated here to New Hampshire, and it focuses on the people that hate the Free Staters, for lack of a better term, that are very, very anti-Free Stater. And the one thing that you really get from, I think, these people is that they don't know any of us. They've never actually had
any. Well, they're too scared. They say at least 45 times during the thing, what they're doing is really scary. What they believe is really scary.
Yeah. And so
me trying to live peacefully on my dog and two cats is dangerous and scary?
No. You're trying to get rid of the government, and that's scary. You're trying to downsize the state to be so small.
Yes, so that I can peacefully live with my two cats and my dog.
I mean, they try to reimagine Free Stater's ideas as in, like, we want no trash service, not we don't think the government should be involved in the trash service.
We just want heaps of garbage in every backyard.
I'm not exaggerating at all.
Isn't it privatized here already?
It is. In Keene, yes.
There's a different
garbage pickup.
There's a different town that they're talking about when that comes up. They're like, they don't want there to be trash services. And I'm not even joking. Yeah. That happens in this video.
But
well, they can't have a realistic conversation, because if they do, then they have to actually have talking points and evidence and arguments and reason. And they don't have those things. All they have is, but the government makes me feel safe.
No, that's all they have is talking points.
Okay.
They have that.
Yes.
But they don't have the conversation. They don't want to have a conversation. So, for instance,
they have good talking points.
In a later episode of this series, they show this woman named Zandra Hawkins. I think Hawkins is her last name. She's the head of Granite State Progress, which is a leftist group funded allegedly by George Soros. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I've heard. And she's a migrant here. So she talks about how it's our state, this and that, as though she were born here. She wasn't.
Even if she was, it doesn't make any difference. But the fact is, she's claiming that people moving here to change the state is some kind of threat, something that's bad, and she did the exact same thing.
Yeah. So, but despite all her hypocrisy, this particular woman, she has set up a series of seminars that they invite purportedly the public to. They invite anyone who wants to attend to attend. And they talk crap about the Free State Project at these seminars. And they, at one point, they actually have cameras in this event, and Stephen Nass, who is a Free Stater from the Seacoast area, attended the event, and he was able to speak up and counter a lot of their information, their misinformation they were presenting on stage. They were trying to act like the Free State Project is a hate group, which is ridiculous. Anyway, he stood up and said, look, yeah, we're not a hate group. Come on over and talk to me. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. You can come to our clubhouse. We'd love to have you come and hang out with us and, you know, meet us, etc. So he totally, like, dismembered their attempt to badmouth the Free State Project by being there. That's after good. That, they started being very, very careful. They started having online seminars where they were being very careful about who they would approve to attend the seminar because they wanted to cut out the Free Staters from attending the seminar. And somebody pointed out that if this Zandra would just attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival, that she would probably find out she actually has some things in common with the Free Staters. And it would be a lot harder to treat us as the enemy, right? Because if you don't know the person that you're proclaiming as the enemy, then it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to dehumanize a person.
Yeah, that's the whole concept of othering, right?
Which, the thing is, like, I can understand this being the same argument for why maybe someone would tell me that we need to, like, conservatives come to the Pork Fest to, like, see how we live and stuff like that. But the line is drawn when they say that they will use violence against you for doing a thing that's nonviolent.
Well, and most of them haven't said that, to be fair.
Well, yeah, most of them haven't, but I said this to, I said it specifically to Maj Touré. The fact that it's keeping other people out or from wanting to go is only a happy circumstance. It's not like I purposely did that.
We certainly don't want the violent types there at all.
And if me telling you can't be violent is why you freak out and say that you're not going to the Pork Fest, then you should not come.
Well, that's not why all of them are freaking out. Some of them are just freaking out because something is happening that they don't agree with. And it's like, look, if you are a conservative-leaning person and you want to come to Porkfest, similarly, if you're a progressive-leaning person and you want to come to Porkfest, I think that's great, as long as you understand what you're getting into. You're getting into a Freedom Fest event where people have their own campsites and they can put on whatever kind of curriculum that they want to put on, whatever kind of voluntary peaceful curriculum they want to put on their own campsite, in their own tent, or out in the open, or whatever. And if that is unacceptable to you, you haven't come far enough to be able to attend this event.
Like Dennis Pratt, when he called in last night, he said that it used to be the case that they would try to cater to a lot of people, like they'd put in different rules and things like that. But now they, the organizers of Porkfest, have come to the realization that the way to handle these things is that everyone controls their own property. And that's like what it should be like in the real world. It's like, you can disagree all you want with what I'm doing at my house, but ultimately all you can do is use words. You can't use violence to come to my house and stop me from doing what I'm doing. Likewise, I can't go to your house or your campsite and do a thing you don't want me to do. I can't drag your kids over to my campsite to watch my drag queen story hour if you don't want me to. And that just completely solves everything. You don't need to micromanage everybody's actions. They will... That's how people live in harmony while disagreeing.
Yep, exactly.
The best way to imagine the Porcupine Freedom Festival is exactly that. It's a little microcosm of society where your campsite is considered your property. And it, I mean, it's obviously Crosby's, but, you know, it's considered your property, and whatever you want to allow on your property is allowed.
No, there are some rules that the campground does have in place, and certainly
are
the ones that have to be respected, and there aren't that many of them. Okay, it's a relatively short list of campsite rules, and they're pretty hands-off when it comes to what people do.
I mean, they let nudists there, so...
Yeah. I mean, that's a good tell as to whether or not these people are pretty tolerant, is
and I got word,
stop the nudists.
I got word that my tweet will be framed at the Body Freedom Village campsite. It makes me feel like Julie Newmar.
Is that the nudist?
Body Freedom Village, yeah.
See, this is news to me, because I go to Porkfest again. This is my seventh year, and every year I make a point, I mean, especially now that I have a dog, to tour the entire campground, to go all the way around it, usually once or twice a day. And I never, on any occasion, saw this nudist camp.
Huh.
I don't believe, and I recognize this is my personal, but I don't believe they should have to stay on their camp.
I agree.
If they're nudist, they should be allowed to wander around wherever they want the same way everyone else is allowed to wear whatever they want, right? But... okay, fine. I still have never seen it. I'm not a nudist, but I totally see where they're coming from. Yeah.
I thought that they were far enough away that it was just like I understood I was seeing a circle of naked men playing Frisbee, but it's not like I would have had to really look to see anything. I didn't see anything.
You know what else happened?
Abnormal.
Well, so this was the one day Bonnie and I went to the Porcupine Freedom Festival this most recent year, and we were out, I think I was being interviewed by the Free State documentary folks. So we were out in like the back part of the park where there's like an open field and a gazebo, and there was maybe 6 to 8 naked men way down the field that were playing Frisbee with one another. And at the same time, there were kids running around playing tag or some kids
game,
right? Yeah, some game where they're running around and there's a big pack of kids, like just running around and they're having their kid time and doing their kid stuff. And you know what? It was totally fine.
And,
like the kids didn't just stop and stand there and gawk at the naked dudes playing.
Well, this is
going
to sound kind of weird, but I had a conversation with one of the kids about the naked guys because I went to the gazebo just to lay there.
The one way back there?
Yeah, this is the same field.
Yeah.
And the Body Freedom Village is in the same field, too, where in eyesight of the gazebo. And I'm just sitting there with Coconut, and then these two, like, 10 to 12-year-old boys run up from the game, and I kind of stood up to, like, go away because I didn't want to just be, like, hanging out in the gazebo with them.
Yeah.
But they were like, there's naked guys over there. And I was just like, yeah, there is. So I'm just looking the other way, and they were just like, ha-ha, that was it. You know, it's not like they were, like,
That's exactly what I would expect from 10 to 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of a fart joke to them, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, look, we're in the internet age here, people. I mean, if they're 10 or 12 years old and they haven't seen a naked guy on the internet or naked people on the internet, I'd be surprised.
Plus, these are dudes, right?
Yeah.
And these are dudes that are naked. So I literally don't understand what the conflict is between a 12-year-old boy seeing an older man naked.
I don't know. This is something that is hard to understand because we're not the conservative type people. Although I was raised by a family that went to church. To be fair, they didn't go every weekend. They weren't, like, the most dedicated people. But they did, like, when we were watching an R-rated movie, which my parents had no problem with me watching violence on television, but if there was a sex scene that came on to an R-rated movie, I had to get out of leave the living room and go down the hallway.
Curious.
So I specifically
but
would
not for the violence.
See. No, violence was fine. But the sex scene I was not allowed to see. And it's like, all that does is it makes that particular topic that much more interesting, right? Like, I wanted to know what I was missing, right? What is being shown that I can't be seeing, and that makes it more attractive.
Yeah.
Something more interesting for a young person. So I think when conservatives do what they are doing and what they have been doing for so long, I think they're actually making things worse. I think that they are creating deviancy.
It just adds the forbidden fruit aspect to things, right?
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, they'd be like, ha-ha, look, a naked guy. And now they're like, ooh, I gotta go see the naked guy. And then look, now you made your 12-year-old gay. Good job.
So if you want to comment, you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. But yeah, I really appreciate Alu's call here tonight because he's the only person who was able to even answer questions on this topic. And I think his experience of actually meeting people who were different like him.
And actually being a dad, because it's like we can say that we don't feel like we would do X with our kids, but it doesn't hold the same weight as someone who actually has a kid.
Yeah, come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival as long as you're willing to be tolerant.
As
long as you're willing to understand that there may be people doing things that you don't agree with that you wouldn't have for your family on the same campground. If that's something you can do, you're going to have a great time. You're going to meet people that agree with you. You're going to meet people that might not agree with you on everything, but you may be able to find some common ground. And I think that would be true for the progressives as well. There was a guy who is a well-known journalist here in New Hampshire. His name's Damien. And he responded to a post I made, which was a completely, like, joke post that I made online. I don't even know if I can say what I posted.
Was this about Cantwell?
Yeah, it was it was in reference to a HJ tent. Let's just say that. I won't say what HJ stands for. But that
it would be an event for HJs.
Yeah, there would be an HJ tent happening at at Porkfest, and that Christopher Cantwell was the sponsor and the keynote speaker at that that event, which of course would never happen.
First of all, why would there be a speaker? Like everybody
right.
would be like,
the whole thing's ridiculous.
Wanting that,
like it's obviously a joke. But he took it seriously, and he said something like...
Tell me again that the Free Staters aren't racist.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I said...
I'm so confused now.
Just because it was Chris Cantwell, I guess. He just saw Chris Cantwell in his eyes. You know, he saw red and got upset about it and posted that. And I posted to it, and I said, look, you know, this was just a joke.
That's sad. I like Daniel.
He's a fine journalist. But actually, I kind of explained the joke to him a little bit. And he said, oh, whoops, sorry. And then he deleted the post. And I said, well, you know, you're welcome to attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I think he probably should if you have, because he made some comment about how he's not gone or whatever. And I said, well, you should.
That'd be a great opportunity to report, like, about what you saw at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
I said, you could probably get a media pass. You probably don't even have to pay, because I'm pretty sure the Porcupine Freedom Festival will give, like, legitimate media people a free pass to come attend and report on the event. I said, what better thing?
Yeah, doesn't he write it like NH? Journal
or independent journalist, and so he has different places that hire him to do jobs.
But he did work for, I think, the AP at one point.
Worked for Union Leader,
okay,
but as an independent journalist. So I think that would be really cool to have, you know, people who have a preconceived notion, whether it be the Zandra Hawkins from Granite State Progress or some conservative person or whatever, come on in. Just don't try to stop other people from expressing themselves. Don't try to stop other people from having the experience that they were looking to have, presuming they're doing something that's peaceful. So check out the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's happening in June. We're coming up. It's less than 2 months at this point. It's a month and a half.
Oh, I know.
So the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and you can go to porkfest.com. As I understand it, there are still some tickets available. You may be able to buy some tickets from some uppity, angry conservatives who have decided they're not going to attend. But there are, I believe, still some, like, official tickets that are for sale.
That makes me want to buy, like, oopswe'renotlibertariansafterall.com, and, like, that's where they can go to list their tickets now that they've realized that they're not libertarians.
I think they've had some sort of an aftermarket for those tickets. I don't know anything about it, but after the event sells out, there's always somebody selling tickets, just second party.
But it's not sold out yet, so nobody needs to really, like, go and buy the tickets from these people.
That's true. Porkfest.com, you can go there to learn more about the event. You can also join some liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians happening for Forkfest, also at Rogers Campground. Same beautiful locations in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Forkfest is happening June 15th through the 18th, so that's the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So Porcupine Freedom Festival starts the 19th, goes through the 25th. So if you've got 10 or 11 days and you want the full experience, I recommend coming for Forkfest as well. There's no tickets for Forkfest. There are for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Forkfest, all you got to do is decentralized, so no one's in charge. You can't go complain to the organizers if you see something you don't like. You just go to forkfest.party. You can learn more about it. Link over to the Rogers Campground folks and get in touch with them to reserve your camping site, your RV site, or your motel room. It's forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. I hope I'll get to see you there. We still have to ask the judge for special permission, basically, for me to go to this thing.
I've decided I'm going.
Excellent. Well, then Aria will be seeing you there as well. And there's more coming up here. You can join the show, bring up whatever's on your mind. Sadly, thousands of hospitality businesses are closing. We'll tell you where and why coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamil, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'll be right back. USA News Update. President Biden has invited several top congressional lawmakers to the White House to discuss raising the debt ceiling. Biden called House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other leaders today to invite them to the White House on May 9th. The invite comes after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told lawmakers today that the U.S. could default as early as June 1st if Congress fails to act. Six people are dead, at least 30 injured, after a dust storm caused a massive accident on Interstate 55 near Springfield, Illinois.
The cause of the crash is due to excessive winds blowing dirt from farm fields across the highway, leading to zero visibility.
Illinois State Police Major Ryan Starick says 40 to 60 passenger vehicles and about 20 commercial trucks were involved. Another balloon is being tracked. This one has floated over parts of Hawaii. It didn't cross any sensitive areas, however. That balloon is now slowly floating toward Mexico. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up anything. 603-283-6160. And coming up later this year, Freedom Lovers, you might not want to miss the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference. I believe it's the third year of this event. It's happening in Prague yet again from October 14th through the 15th. That you can learn there about free cities. They are supposedly self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. And representatives from projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be there to share updates on their progress.
Wow, I didn't know that there are projects, free city projects in Germany.
Me neither. If you want to learn more, you can go to the Free Cities Liberty in Our Lifetime event. It's libertyinourlifetime.org. You can use code FTL to save 10% on tickets.
I just saw a video of a little boy being taken from his home in Germany.
Yikes.
Like with screaming and being picked up by all of his legs because his parents taught him that being gay is bad and he's a Muslim.
I saw that. Heartbreaking.
It was really, really sad. He was like screaming.
Well, religious freedom doesn't exist in Germany, does it?
Doesn't sound like it.
It barely exists in the United States.
As I'm expressing being shocked that there's a free private city trying to do its thing in Germany.
So, go to learn more. It's over at libertyinourlifetime.org. Code FTL gets you 10% off, and you can go to Prague October 14th and the 15th. Our very own Mark Edge will be speaking at the event. Let's go to the phones here. We got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Unfortunately, there are many major enclaves in European cities where only Muslim law applies. I know such a thing exists in France that the regular cops won't even go in there. The Muslims kind of got their own police system going.
Well, if that was true, why would the police be taking a Muslim kid away from his parents? Like, why wouldn't they just be living in this place where only Muslim law applies? I don't know if that's true.
You're talking about something that was rumored years ago.
Debunked, though, right?
Yeah, and debunked, called the no-go zones in France, where supposedly the police wouldn't go. Totally debunked. It's nonsense.
All right. Well, I was not impressed with that.
Yeah.
So anyway, as far as you guys talking about the Quilt Pig Fest and everybody's scared of what the little kids are going to see and whatnot.
Oh, no, not everybody is scared. Only a handful of uppity conservatives.
A percentage, right? Yeah. Okay. So if these people are that concerned with what the children are going to see, let them offer an alternative, like the pirate story hour or Tales from the Bunkhouse. I got a better one for you. This would be an event that every child that ever attended would remember for the rest of their life. Sheep busting.
Say
what? What I'm talking about? Sheep busting. It's a rodeo event for kids. They put them on sheep and let them ride them like bucking broncos.
I mean, Jay might have some sheep.
All get out, dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
and the kids love it.
I don't even know if there's, like, the room for that, because I've seen this at, like, a rodeo. Like, the kids.
There's a lot of room out in the field.
That gazebo area, they could do it.
You only need 20 to 50 sheep and the field where all the twigs and berry fellas was playing frisbee.
Yeah, what you're saying here is absolutely the truth, at least about Porcupine Freedom Festival. Anytime there's something going on, there's at least 10 other things going on, maybe more, 20 or something. There's a lot of things that are happening, especially ever since the event became decentralized a few years ago, where it used to be that there was this central stage, and there still is a main stage, okay, so that still exists, but it used to be everything was centered around that. That was the whole event. That was where everybody went to do things, and then there'd be some people cooking, you know, up in the rest of the campground. That was kind of the way it was. And then somebody figured out that, hey, you know, libertarians believe in decentralization generally, so let's try decentralizing Porkfest. And they came up with this idea of, hey, if you want to have, like, an event on your own campsite, which to some extent was happening before, but now the Free State Project will, like, actually acknowledge it. They'll put it into the official schedule, and there's all these different what they call hubs. So, like, there's the, you know, the mom's hub where they're having sewing classes, or there's, you know, the I don't know, the drag queen hub or whatever,
and
you know,
the
secession hub, that kind of thing.
Dennis Prep used the same exact argument on Twitter today that Major Payne is bringing up. He's said that if you really don't like it, you can always organize a competing event at the same time when you find out when the drag queen... Like, if you think that more kids would rather do, like, I don't know, an Easter egg hunt, then do whatever thing you think that the kids are going to want to do. And anyone at Fort Porkfest should welcome that. There shouldn't be... Competition of ideas is a good thing, and there shouldn't be people saying, like, you can't do a kid thing at the same time as my kid-friendly... Because then people won't come to mine. Like... Kids and adults should be able to choose the thing they'd rather go to.
Yep, and they'll put that on the schedule too. Whatever, you got the Easter egg hunt or the sheep riding thing or whatever, you just let them know, and then boom, it's there.
Maybe anyone can would see. They I put Drag Queen Story Hour on the official schedule?
I think he said they would. I think he said that last night.
I think
night.
He did say it on the tweet too that I was referencing.
Well, if it's Dennis, I certainly believe that they would.
Yeah. Major, what else?
If you guys want to look this up online, I think I just recollected the proper term. They call it mutton busting.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
That's the riding the sheep thing?
So, the other thing wanted to bring up, other than the fact that I saved a few kids' lives at Bliss Fest here a few years ago, which is one of our hippie festivals here in Michigan, I'll get to that if you give me the end of the dog here, Ian. But I want to bring up Regency Bank here. Right?
Reasons
they
to what?
Got bought out by J.P. Morgan Chase today in a fire sale.
Oh, right. You're talking about the latest bank, First Republic, the now second largest bank failure in American history. It was Silicon Valley Bank that was the second largest bank failure. First Republic is bigger of a failure than even Silicon Valley Bank, so it is now number two.
The really interesting thing about this, and I just learned this today, I forget if it was 1903 or 1907, there was a bank plunge, so to speak, just as we have today. And J.P. Morgan Chase's grandfather stepped in with a couple, three other highfalutin SOBs and bailed out the banking industry to prevent the panic ride that we are cresting the top of the slide on now.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar, Major. Thank you, man. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah. I was at BlizzFest about, must have been 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of there's a great big open field where everybody parks, right?
Yep.
And then around the perimeter, they set up tents and booths and whatnot. And it's kind of rolling thunder a little bit. I mean, it's not like hilly, but it's like gullies. So it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and me and my kid are walking along. It's a beautiful night, and we come over this rise, and there's six youngins laying there right in the middle of the two-track that is the road that drives around the perimeter of the field.
Hmm.
And if you were coming with your headlights on, you would never see them pups, and you'd squash at least two, three of them.
Damn.
So I come over the hill, and I think I was doing mushrooms at the time. And I just stopped, and I paused, and I looked down. And finally, one of the kids recollected I was there and looked at me, and I says, "Hey, speed bump. Get out of the road."
And did they?
All looked at each other and got up and scattered and ran into the woods. It was crazy.
You saved some lives there, Major. Congratulations, and thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
I hope he really called them speed bumps.
Yeah. I think
good story. I'm sure he did.
Let's talk to the situation in Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling in. I was listening to. I'm way behind on you guys. I drive home from work, listen to the radio show.
It's a good time.
A million times. It was last week or whatever. You guys were talking about a credit card size deer pin thing for machine guns. And then this guy, Ricky, calls in, and he had some issue with Aria, but he couldn't get to his point. And,
I'm shocked.
So my point is, immediately, next time somebody calls in, a caller like that, I mean, I know you guys, I don't know you guys, but just go blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, that's what I get when I work with people and they're sitting there and they can't get their point across, blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to say.
That's what you want us to do with Ricky is say blah, 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 and then hang up on him?
No, you don't hang up on him. Just go blah, blah, blah.
So just make fun of him and hope that he'll he'll spit it out quicker?
Get to the point. I mean, come on, man. For some reason, he's got to hang up on the Aria person there. I don't know. That's just kind of,
Was that all you had tonight? Was that, that's what we should, how we should treat Ricky?
Well, I had a question, too, on that.
Go ahead.
Is Ricky and Major Payne the same guy?
No, definitely not.
Kind of do have the same, like, gravelly voice.
I think they sound very different.
Okay. But I think it's noticeable as well. Enough that they're different, but I can see why he's saying it. But I agree that every time we answer Ricky's calls, I start to, like, my eyes glaze over. I start to feel like I can't focus or remember what he started talking about because there's too many, like, it's almost like another caller. Maybe I shouldn't say who that goes,
can't focus.
Well, we will definitely pass this on to him because he's on hold right now, the situation. Thank you for the call tonight.
I thought we were doing like a three-way call.
I thought you didn't want to talk to him. You want to talk to him?
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second.
Let's do it.
Let me lock you in here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on with the situation.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. This is Ricky from the Commonwealth. Well, it seemed like it took you quite a while to get to your point there, situation.
No, I was just emulating. I mean,
emulating what would that be? Ricky from the Commonwealth? I don't think so. I'm a Confederate Democrat. What are you?
I'm just a dude, you know.
A dude.
Not a.
Can you can you emulate that and elaborate on that for me, please?
Well, I'm pretty what do you call that? Independent.
Independent of what?
Yeah, I don't like the government like anybody else.
Can you elaborate on that? I mean, I have many a times there, actually, but I'd really like you to elaborate on that, please.
Well, you know, like when we initiated the government in this country was to have a military and some sort of, you know, protections, you know, and, you know, we just want...
So you think the military's there to protect us? That's their only purpose?
No. No.
I think the point the situation was trying to get to was he was trying to say that the government has grown too much. It used to be just for a couple purposes, and now we have, you know, regulatory agencies that don't let businesses do things that slightly offend them.
Well, Bonnie, if it's all right, I mean, I'd like to kind of talk to the situation myself a little bit.
I can talk if I want on this radio show that we're all on here.
I don't get this opportunity every day.
I just wanted to make it easy to explain it to you since you're just going to be pedantically asking him to explain every single thing. I made it quicker.
Absolutely not. You don't know me well enough, Bonnie. But I do have another question for you there, situation. Now, I am the Confederate
just
Democrat.
Did it twice.
And that being said, what's your thoughts on the Civil War?
Well, you know, I don't know enough about history to really define, you know, or explain whether it was over slavery or whatever. I wasn't around when the politics happened.
He's from Oregon.
I mean, that's a perfect answer. You weren't there. You don't know. You're not a history expert. That's fine.
Well, do you have any thought? Okay, but do you have any thoughts on Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln seemed like an all right dude. I don't know.
He was a tyrant.
He was a tyrant. I got to agree with you on that one, Ricky.
He was not only a tyrant, but Abraham Lincoln not only destroyed the economy to smithereens, he gave us fiat currency as a result. He stole the land from the South.
The situation said he didn't have much of an opinion on it and isn't
okay, well,
a historian.
Now Ricky's telling him about
it. But I'm just saying, it's like, why are you... lecturing him about something that he told
you.
I want to know.
He's telling the truth.
It doesn't sound like he needs to be defended.
He's telling the truth. We would have said the same things about Abraham Lincoln if somebody called in to defend Lincoln.
But he didn't call in to defend Lincoln. That's what I'm saying. He was like, tell me any opinion on Lincoln. He said, he seemed all right. I don't study history. And now he's
all
like...
All right, I got a better one. I got one more for you. What is your thoughts on your stance on war?
I don't believe we should be at war. We're not. Yeah, we can get out of a war, but I also don't believe that
get out of a war. Okay.
I don't think we should go to war, but if you have other countries trying to dominate, like the Hitlers and the Ruskies and all that, just trying to kill people and their own people to take over the world, somebody's got to stand up and fight that.
Now, if I may, I was just asked this question by Ian the other night. Here's what my answer was, if I may, situation. Here's what my answer was to his question. I said that I'm anti-war, except in the case if we are attacked, and that would be on defense. But I also said, given the situation over in Ukraine, and you got somebody that wants to, you know, dominate Europe and all that. You know, you got these things called alliances, which I'm against. Like Jefferson said, trade with everyone, alliance to no one. But I do understand it. That doesn't mean that I, you know, am for it or accept it. It's a victim of current time government.
I'm actually with you on this one again, Ricky. I think that the United States, if there is a U.S. federal government, they need to stay out of other people's conflicts, and defense is the only acceptable option. If there's some Hitler or whoever it is you think that the current bad guy is, then you should be free to go personally and volunteer. So if you want to go over to Ukraine and, you know, volunteer there, then by all means, you should have that freedom. But no one else should be forced to support a military conflict somewhere else.
No, I think I don't believe I have questions about the Ukraine war. I don't believe in it.
Okay.
I don't support it.
Fair enough.
You know what I think is more important for these two to be having the conversation about? I don't understand how it turned into war and...
because Ricky's in attack mode. He wants to make the situation defend himself.
Which I think is important is what the situation called in about. The situation called in first, and he had a... critique of
he did and,
of Ricky and I don't think Ricky's addressed it at all. Ricky, why can't you get to your point?
To the point, did I not?
Well, we don't even know why
you didn't get right
calling.
To the point. You just started yelling about something.
Well, I was not yelling. I'm talking my normal voice.
He's just louder.
You don't know me well enough. I've talked on over 1,200 shows. I just disappeared five
years
ago.
Has it been that many calls?
I wasn't shocked. Why?
Was the point of your call tonight to ask about the Civil War and Abraham Lincoln?
Well, no.
How come he's on the show for five hours a night?
He has not gotten to his point.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, of course not. The situation was still on the line, and he wanted to talk to Ricky, and so Ricky started interviewing him.
But now he's gotten three... topics. He's gotten the topic of the random questions he wanted to ask the situation who he's never talked to before, and he's kind of addressing the other thing about his...
He's talking with the situation. He's asking the situation questions.
And then he's going to have another topic. You need to give these people a rule that they can only have one topic. It's like when Major Payne calls in and he says... it's actually Ricky who calls in. He says, so this isn't my topic, but I got
to
say
this.
That's
David does that, too.
Ricky
does that, too. They
both do it. 5 years. I'm just getting in my element.
They both do it. I'm going to put them both on hold. Thank you both for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Actually, Bonnie, I was planning on not letting Ricky get to his topic, so you presumed that I was going to let him get
to his
topic.
But it happens, like, every time he does call in, he's like,
this isn't
my topic, but I'm going to comment on this. It doesn't take 1 second. It takes one segment.
It just all depends on
and
how
then
I'm feeling.
He's like, okay, and now I'm going to get to my topic.
A lot of times Major Payne does that, too. They have more than one thing.
And the last time Ricky tried that, he basically called in to, like, I'm going to get to my topic, but first let me tell you why Aria sucks.
If it's
and
interesting,
Ian just hung up on him.
If it's interesting, I'll let him keep going. And if it's not, I won't. So I don't have any hard and fast rules about that.
I think that there's no reason to put them on together because, not that
the
your
situation
fault.
Wanted to talk to him.
Not that it's your fault. I'm saying because of Ricky, because he didn't answer any of the situation's questions. He was just like, you know what? What do you think of the Civil War?
I don't think the situation asked him any questions.
I didn't get a chance to.
No, I mean his
Ricky
his
controlled
problem.
That conversation from the start.
He sure did.
His topic was that Ricky doesn't get to his point. And Ricky just
That's
went,
true.
Oh, yeah? Let's talk about my pet topic that I specifically really care
script.
About.
Ricky flipped the script, and he controlled the, as Aria pointed out, he had control of the conversation.
Does like to talk over people.
Yeah, I don't like the way it turned out, but like, I mean, part of it was that, you know, the situation's mic was so much more quiet than
yeah, I was trying to,
Ricky's
to
was. Yeah.
Raise him up, but there's only so much.
All things being equal, with both of them in a room together with equal mics, you know, who's to say how that conversation would hash out? But over the telephone in this limited format, you know, Ricky was able to take control of the conversation and direct it in the way
the
that he wanted.
He Ricky's, who asked the questions is winning the conversation.
Ricky's questions would have made any sense if the situation called in and said, you know what? I think that Ricky is all wrong about the Civil War, but since he didn't, it was just completely ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. Ricky used the entire topic as a way of deflecting from the criticism that the situation had brought up.
That is true.
But
he got away with it.
Yeah, he did.
It's like if somebody called to critique TJ the spy, and TJ was like, oh, yeah? Answer this calculus question. Because it's his topic, and no one else cares about it.
The situation actually called back in, and normally I don't take a second call from somebody every night, but I'm going to let you have the last word on this situation. Go ahead.
Sorry about what went down there. Everybody got all weird.
Not your fault.
When Ricky calls in, drags everybody off the cliff with a bunch of different directions. What I was going to say, I mentioned it before, was blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think it makes boring radio whenever somebody calls in, doesn't get to their topic, gets all defensive if you say anything like, I've called in 12,000 shows. Like, who wants to listen to that on the radio? I don't care. I don't know
point.
You, Ricky, because I don't want to.
That's my point. Like, I'm at work, I talk to people, you guys talk to people, and you might catch yourself repeating yourself and embarrassed about it. I'm cognitive about that, and I have been told that, blah, 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 blah.
Just got to tell Ricky a cool story and
hang
up.
Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
From what I can tell about Ricky is that he hates it when someone doesn't let him direct the conversation. And that's why he hates me so much on Wednesday nights, because I will say, no, you brought this up as your topic, and that's what we're sticking to. And he hates that. Mm. He wants to be able to ask you what you think about Abraham Lincoln or whatever. He's like, no, we're going back to this thing that we were just discussing. I'm not going to let you change the subject. He gets mad.
And if anybody has some kind of problem with how I handled his questions about Abraham Lincoln, it was just the fact that it was off topic and ridiculous that he was asking the situation those questions. Me, Ian, and Aria did a whole show about how much we hate Abraham Lincoln.
Did we really a whole show? I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe not a whole show, but a really long time.
I don't remember it.
Well, Bunny, when you want to host the show as a first chair host, you'll be able to handle Ricky's calls in whatever way you think is appropriate.
I'm going to reach over and hang up on him.
He doesn't call on Wednesdays anymore.
The number here is 603.
That wasn't intentional, though. He's welcome to. Yes. He just won't, because I won't let him, domineer me like that.
603-283-6160 is the number here tonight. So, bad news if you're in Great Britain, and presumably this is happening in other parts of Europe. When I saw this story, it was presented as though it was all of Europe, with the number nearly 4,600 hospitality firms have closed in the last year. But it turns out it's not all of Europe, which that would sound like a lot for that.
What is a hospitality firm?
This is restaurants and bars, I think.
So
hotels.
They own
hotels?
The buildings?
I don't know whether they own the buildings or not, but they're closing. So.
I thought hotels were considered hospitality. I could be wrong.
But it could be. I'm not sure about it. That's a great question. Certainly there's a lot of hospitality
going on. The hospitality industry is hotels.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
But they're getting killed by Airbnb as well, so those numbers are a little bit skewed.
But generally when you hear of hospitality night at a bar or a restaurant, it tends to attract other people from bars and restaurants. So normally I think about it as bars and restaurants, but it would make sense for it to also include hotels, which also tend to have bars and restaurants within them. So anyway, 4,593 licensed hospitality premises have closed permanently in Great Britain in the last year. So this isn't Europe. This is one country.
That's a lot for one country. Even if it was for Europe, I'd be 5,000. Wow, that's a lot. Because Europe is effectively, I don't know the population numbers, but it's effectively the size of the United States, maybe a little bit larger. But 5,000 properties or 5,000 hospitality industries closing in the United States would be shocking.
No, I mean, I would be interested to know what is a typical amount that closes, pre-COVID times in a year. Because the thing they always say about restaurants is most of them don't last the first year. You know, when somebody opens up a new restaurant business, most of them go under within a matter of months, if not the first year. And you're a success if you can make it to year number 5. So what is typical? I don't know. But this sounds like a lot, and we'll get into exactly how much it is percentage-wise coming up here.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.